Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 54 is entitled Gethsemane.
In last week's episode, we explored the Last Supper. In this week's episode, we shall explore Gethsemane. In a very touching scene, we have the last moments of peace in the Savior's life. Matthew records,
"And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives."
The greatest drama this earth has ever seen is about to unfold, yet Jesus leads them in a hymn. Perhaps nothing reveals greatness more than serenity in the face of crisis. The Savior is about to face a trial that no human on earth can imagine, a trial that only God can endure while the apostles sleep. Christ knows he is about to be betrayed, tried, and crucified. He knows that in only a few moments he will feel the full weight of the law of justice, in which he will take upon himself the sins of the world. Yet in preparation, he sings a hymn to his Father, honoring God, though his Father is about to subject him to pain that only the damned in hell can feel. Following the hymn, he leads the apostles to the Mount of Olives. He had a choice. He could escape, as he had done many times before, when the leaders of the Jews sought to kill him. But this time, the greatest moment in the history of the world, he chose the path that brought him to earth in the first place. The path that had been laid before the foundations of the world, the path of salvation for the children of God who would repent and take upon themselves his name and keep his commandments. He chose the path to the Garden of Gethsemane, where in agony for the sins of the world he would bleed from every pore. To add to his suffering, not only would he be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, but he would be abandoned by all his apostles.
"Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples."
Now Jesus and his disciples enter the Garden of Gethsemane. None but Christ understands the importance of this moment.
"Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me."
We can see from the record of Matthew that the weight of the world suddenly begins to fall upon Jesus. He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He tells his chief apostles, Peter, James, and John, what he is feeling. The other disciples he allows to sleep, but he asks his three chief apostles to tarry and watch with him. Never in the 3 years of his ministry had he asked the apostles to perform a greater task. Jesus removed himself, apparently only a short way, referred to as a little further. Matthew records,
"And he went a little further, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Here, we need to pause and examine the prayer. This is not the Lord's prayer he taught in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the prayer of the Son of God, who is desperate, for he is about to face the greatest trial of his life. Neither his experience in the wilderness, nor his experience with the Roman soldiers who tear his flesh with a whip and place upon his head a crown of thorns, nor his experience on the cross equal this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior and Redeemer of the world, satisfies the law of justice and takes upon himself the sins of all the world. Being sinless, he suffers for our sins, and he feels the weight of our guilt and the burden of our punishment, insomuch that he cries, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." We may say the right words, but we with our mortal minds cannot comprehend what he is about to face. Every pain mankind can possibly suffer, Christ is about to feel, so that he may have empathy for us. It is the greatest act of charity ever shown toward man. This is the price of judgment. The fabled Atlas, with the weight of the world on his back, held a feather compared to the weight of sorrow and sadness Christ is about to feel. This is a new prayer for the Savior. It is unlike anything he has ever prayed for before. Never in the recorded history of his life did the Savior ask the Father to remove a trial. He didn't pray such a prayer when he went into the wilderness. He didn't pray such a prayer when he was led to the cross. There was nothing that man could do to him that would cause him to pray to the Father to remove the cup from him. What, then, is the difference from this moment in Gethsemane and all the other suffering Christ had to endure? The answer is this. Before this moment, and even including the trial before Pilate and the trial of being led up Calvary's hill, he was only subjected to the puny laws of man. For the first and only time, Christ is about to be subjected to the full law of justice of the Father. That same law of justice is the fate of sinners who refuse to repent and call upon Christ. We suffer only for our own sins. Christ suffered for the sins of all mankind. He felt the full weight of the unforgiven law of justice. That moment in Gethsemane, Christ stood surrogate for us, paying for our sins, not for his own. The weight he felt was the heavy weight of the justice of God that only sinners in the depths of hell must face. Without Gethsemane, the cross would have been meaningless. On the cross, he suffered the pains of death. In Gethsemane, he suffered the pains of hell and the full weight of the law of justice. That is why those few words are so important. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If Christ had not in agony uttered those last words, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt," all would have been lost. Laws fall under two categories, the law of justice and the law of mercy. The law of justice and the law of mercy are not opposites. When you think of opposites, you must think of things diametrically opposed, such as God and Satan, good and evil, moral and immoral, light and darkness. Opposites are mutually exclusive. Two important opposites are order and disorder, or order and chaos. Chaos is a natural state, and the only way you can bring order out of chaos is through absolute law. If law were not absolute, everything would return to chaos. The law of justice is necessary to the existence of God. Because the law of justice is unconditional, the law of mercy, which is conditional, was necessary. Justice and mercy are not mutually exclusive. The law of justice came first, the law of mercy second. The law of mercy is necessary because of the law of justice. The law of mercy is subordinate to the law of justice. To understand this concept, we must understand Christ's experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ prayed three times, hoping to avoid suffering the full effects of the law of justice. Only a God could have endured Gethsemane. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have three separate accounts of the first prayer in Gethsemane. As quoted above, in Matthew we read,
And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
In Mark, we read,
And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
And in Luke, we read,
And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
Let's examine the differences. In Matthew's account, Jesus said, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In Mark's account, Jesus said, All things are possible with thee. Take away this cup from me. In Luke's account, Jesus said, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. If all things are possible with God, why didn't God take away the cup, meaning the bitter cup of satisfying the law of justice to pay for our sins? The answer is simple. It would have violated the law of justice and voided the atonement. Everything God did would be all for nothing. The fact is, because of the law of justice, God the Father had to choose between letting Christ, who was entirely innocent, suffer for our sins, or letting us, who were entirely guilty, suffer for our sins. Justice must be satisfied. The Father chose the former and allowed His only begotten Son to suffer the consequences of the whole law of justice. It was so excruciating, Luke records.
And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
It is significant that Christ shed his blood both in Gethsemane and on the cross. That was the only way the law of justice could be satisfied, the atonement complete, and Christ knew that. The one thing all accounts agree on is that Christ said, Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And that is the only reason the law of justice was satisfied. If Christ had not been pure, he could not have atoned for our sins. If Christ had fallen, he could not have saved himself for us. If Christ, being innocent, had not sacrificed his life willingly, he could not have satisfied the demands of the law of justice. God did not remove the cup because it would have destroyed everything. Let us never forget John 3:16-17.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That is why Christ suffered in Gethsemane for our sins. That is why the Father did not take the bitter cup away, even though he knew what his beloved Son had to go through. Christ does not want anyone to suffer as he had to suffer. Those who mistakenly think that God the Father or His Son Jesus Christ want us to suffer at all must remember Gethsemane and the cross. Hell must exist because of the law of justice. No child of God must suffer in hell because of the law of mercy. The only ones who must suffer for their own sins are those who refuse to take upon themselves the name of Christ, who refuse to repent, who refuse to keep the commandments imposed by the law of justice upon the law of mercy, and those who refuse to endure to the end. The law of mercy is available to us until our last breath. Christ has the power to remit all sins, and Christ alone is our judge and advocate with the Father. He earned that right in Gethsemane.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.